All right, we're going to get started this morning, guys. We're going to need some scriptures. Lem, if you could read Luke 11, 5 through 10. Caleb, Proverbs 21, 24. Justin, Matthew 22, 12. Scotty, let me get Luke 11, 5. Anthony, Luke 11, 8. Daniel, Luke 11, 9 through 10. And that'll be good. One of the defining characteristics of being discipled, especially here in Prescott, I mean, I've never been discipled anywhere else, so I can just speak for Prescott, but one of the defining characteristics or marks of being discipled here is the ability and the availability to ask questions. That's one of the most crucial things in discipleship. We see that our pastors every morning, when they're in town, they're here and they're available to ask us or for us to ask them questions. And that's something that's incredibly valuable. And so the issue of asking questions is something that should be cultivated in us now. The issue of asking questions, whether that be in regards to ministry, whether that be in regards to relationships, your marriage, Bible questions, questions on Scripture, doctrine, why we do things a certain way in our fellowship, why we do things a certain way in our services, every single question you ask, our pastors are there to answer them and to help us out in these things. And this should continue even long after you're launched out. This shouldn't just be something that's here, that's when you're here and you're at the breakfast table or you're at a service or whatever. It should be something that's cultivated now so that it carries on into your ministry, into when you're pioneering and you're out in the field and you are involved in your own endeavors. And so that's, I want to talk this morning on the man with no questions. Out of Luke 11, 5 through 10, if we could get that scripture.
And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me, the door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened.
All right, the man with no questions. I want to talk first of all about the perplexing issue that we have, and that is the man with no questions. And so why do some men have no questions? Why is it that some people can go throughout their entire ministry or their entire discipleship and not ask one question? And so we see people that go through issues, we see people that go through troubles, they experience lack in their ministry or failure, and yet they have never asked anything. And so the question is why? Why don't people ask a question or seek direction in and for their lives? And so the number one, the first thing we see is that there's an issue of pride. First and foremost, that's the biggest hindrance to asking questions, is the issue of pride. We feel or we believe that we already have the answers or that we can get them on our own, or that for asking somebody is going to bother them, or asking our pastors is going to, we're going to sound stupid. And so that's the issue. So let's read Proverbs 21, 24. And so, in other words, he acts on his own. He acts according to his own understanding and according to his own abilities, which we understand that lean not upon your own, right? On your own understanding. That's something that's a biblical truth. And so they go throughout life never asking. Some don't want to feel low or dumb by asking a question, or they feel like they're going to get made fun of, get a load of this guy. Or worse, what I've seen happen is that people that start asking a lot of questions, then other disciples, oh, look at this brown noser. Oh, look at this guy over here that he's, you know, oh, what does he think he is? He's over here trying to, you know, look better than all the rest of us. That's something that I've seen play out in discipleship. And so asking a question is naturally a humbling experience. It's something that brings an element of humility to our lives, because we're going up to somebody who has more wisdom than us, who has more knowledge than us, who has more understanding than us. Our headship is available for us. And when we ask them questions, what we're essentially doing is we're saying, you know what, I don't know everything. I don't know all that there is involved in salvation or ministry or in relationship. This is related to maintaining an image, creating an aura of knowledge or superiority, or you want to just look cool by not asking questions, etc. You know, you guys fill in the blank. Why is it that you don't ask a question? Secondly, what we see is there's an issue of arrogance, or of ignorance, rather. And so often, those with no questions, they just simply don't realize that they don't know that there are questions to be asked. Matthew 22:12.
And he said to them, "Friend, how did you get here without a wedding garment?" And then he was speechless.
So he didn't know. He was ignorant towards the issue. He didn't know he should be coming prepared and ready for the bridegroom. And so here we can ask questions about marriage, because how many of you know we're not experts in marriage, right? Especially when we first get married. You know, we who've been married, we've gone into the office with Pastor Mitchell or Pastor Greg, and they sit down with us, and you know, they go through the whole thing, and we're shaking our head yes, and we're, you know, smiling from ear to ear because we're about to get married. And then they ask, "Do you have any questions?" "No." "Really? No questions?" "Okay. Have fun. I guarantee later on you're going to have some questions." And the issue is sometimes even when we do have those questions, we still don't ask them. Questions about ministry. Why is it that we do this? How long have we been going and doing this? What was the inspiration for that? One of the most incredible experiences is being able to drive Pastor Mitchell down to Phoenix. Whether it be for airplane, you know, he's catching a plane, or whether it be for a healing crusade, or whatever the issue is, why I'm driving Pastor Mitchell, because I have an hour and a half of his undivided attention where I can ask him questions. And once you get Pastor Mitchell going on these questions, it's like he blossoms right in front of you. And he's willing to impart that knowledge, that wisdom. And Pastor Mitchell has an incredible depth of understanding and wisdom that he makes available to draw out of. You know, he makes it available to us so that we can ask and pull from his long experience. We have questions about fruitfulness, scripture, working with people. I remember when I was first working with people as a disciple, I wasn't even on staff yet. I was just working with new converts, and the frustration that came from that, of trying to get them to understand and wondering, what am I doing wrong? But having the ability and having our pastors available to us so that I could go up to him and ask him, "Hey, what am I doing wrong? Am I doing anything wrong? How do I pray for this situation? How do I contend in this area?" But so many of us often don't ask anything. And so there's a quote that reads, "The greatest wisdom is knowing that you don't know." Sometimes we don't see the problems or the issues that are in our own life. Sometimes we don't see the things that are happening within us internally that somebody else might see, the outside looking in, an outside perspective that looks in upon our lives and shows us. And so many don't ask questions because they simply cannot see that things can be better or fixed. And so asking a simple question can bring revelation. How many of you have ever asked a question in regards to one thing, And the answer that's given sheds light on many other issues. And so that's the issue at hand. Is that if, you know, and then you've also heard the statement, ignorance is bliss. And so some people would just prefer to stay in that area where they're at just because of that simple statement alone, that ignorance is bliss. If they don't know the difference, then they don't have to fix anything. But there are real character issues. There are real areas in marriage. There are real areas in ministry. There are real areas where we need clarity in Scripture. There's real areas where we need help dealing with other people that we need to ask about. And not be ignorant towards those things. And so the third thing that we see as to why people don't ask questions is that there's an incorrect view of time. In discipleship, one of the most important things that we should be doing is thinking about our future. What does God have for me? A question. What does God want me to do? A question. Where is it that God wants me to go? A question. But so many times we don't ask that. We're waiting for the pastor to hunt us down and say, hey, this is the great plan that God laid out for your life that He's revealed to me. No, but we need to start asking. And so when you don't think about your future, naturally there's no questions. You're not thinking where you could, might, or may go in the kingdom of God. And so some think about their future, but believe they have more time or an unlimited time to ask questions later. And so, just an example. So when I... the fast right before I went on staff to be door director. I was just praying. I was saying, God, you know, I know this is what you want for my life. I had started, you know, I was already preaching in the 180s. I was, you know, God was helping me there. I was dealing with new converts. I was establishing a relationship with my pastor. And so I'm praying and I'm asking God. I said, God, you need to show me. And then I asked Him another thing. I said, God, accelerate my ministry. Accelerate it like you have promised in my life. And so, you know, I could be, you know, okay, God, you know, accelerate it so that someday, you know, things could happen. But I wanted it then. I wanted it now. And to my surprise, it was a few days after that I got called into the, it was at a park outreach. Actually, Pastor Greg had come to my house, and I wasn't there, and he texted me, and he says, hey, you guys are coming to the park, right? And I said, yeah. He says, okay, well, meet me there, and then afterwards we're going to go to McDonald's. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. We'll eat some ice cream or something. And so I go and we meet, and it was right after that. And it was like, it was immediately. And it was like, man, this is crazy. And so, but I was already thinking about my future. I was already thinking that things were going to change, that if, you know, at any moment I could drop everything and just say, yes, I'll go. I'll do anything. It was already something that I was thinking about. It was already linked to questions that I had already been asking my pastor in regards to the ministry. And so here is the issue, is that sometimes we don't think about that. We don't think at how quickly something can change. Especially in the kingdom of God. A need can arise. Are you ready? Are you asking the right questions? And so things can rapidly change. We don't consider the sudden shifts of life and of ministry. And so therefore, these three things will hinder us from asking questions. These three things will come against us when we want to ask questions. Pride, ignorance, being unaware or an incorrect view of time. And so we must come against this. And so there are some principles of asking. That's what I want to talk about secondly. And so asking, as we see in our text, is connected to relationship. Let's read Luke 11:5.
And He said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves?
And so this is true with God and also with men. And so how many of you know, we feel a lot more comfortable asking questions to people that we have a relationship with, right? It's a bit more uncomfortable asking somebody that you have no idea who they are a question. Right? And so when we have relationship with people, especially with our pastors, that affords us the opportunity to ask questions. To say, hey, pastor, this is going on in life. How do I handle it? Or, pastor, I am looking towards my future. What are some practical things that I could be doing now to facilitate that? And so questions naturally flow out of relationship. Also, not only that, but they build relationship. Questions build relationship. And so every relationship outside of the family was built on questions. Some of you that are, you know, you're married or you're dating somebody or you're getting to know somebody. What do? You ask them questions. Right? And hopefully it's reciprocated. Hopefully, you know, one person doesn't just talk the whole time and you just sit there listening and you know everything about them, but they know nothing about you. And so it has to go both ways. In follow-up, you start asking questions when you're dealing with new converts. Where do you work? Where are you from? How long have you lived in Prescott? Trying to find common ground, because once you find that common ground, then it, you know, you see it, you can see the course of the conversation can change. Went out to eat with a new convert last Sunday, and you know, we're talking, and I'm asking him questions. You know, where were you raised? He was raised on the res, and you know, we start talking about different things, and asking him how long he's been in town, and you know, and so, and then the common ground that we found was that we both worked for the Forest Service, and then from there we found more common ground. He loves baseball. I love baseball. So you know, and we started to get to know each other, and it was a very pleasant experience. How many of you had those awkward situations where you talk to somebody and you ask them a question and they have these like short one answer, you know, answers, and then you like you're looking for your next question, and then it becomes okay, bye then, you know. And some people are like that. Some people, you know, they're very shut in. They're not big talkers, you know. So you have to draw that out of them. And how you do so is by asking questions. In the book, Just Listen, it says we need to make others fascinate. In other words, you have to be interested in them and you will naturally connect with them. And that is so crucial in discipleship. If you're going to work with people at any capacity, this has to be something that's alive and working in your life. And so there's a truth to this. And that is that you cannot be discipled from a distance. Pastor can't go chasing you down to make you a disciple. And that word in itself, disciple, what that means is a learner. Somebody who wants to learn. Somebody who is eager to learn. Somebody who's asking questions so that they can learn. That's all a disciple really is. And so, questions close the gap of relationship. And we're able to make connections through questions. And then not only that, what we see in our text is asking questions causes there to be a transference. Luke 11:8.
I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs.
Another translation, but because of his persistence, he will rise and give him what he needs. Persistence in what? In asking. That's what we see in the text. And so what one man had in the parable was literally given to another. The guy asked for bread. He knew his friend had it. And there was a transference there. And so we have to remember that parables are physical pictures of spiritual truth. So if we were to apply that to our lives, our pastors have this incredible depth of knowledge and wisdom. that they are willing to give us if we would simply ask. They are willing to transfer that wisdom and that knowledge and that understanding to us if we would just ask. And so when we ask questions, we are initiating a spiritual transfer. We are starting the process to where we can start growing and we can glean from this. And so this is how we get our pastor's heart. Many of you have heard and often heard me say, how do I be discipled? How do I, how do I start this process? And I've often told a lot of you, link your heart with your pastor. Well, how do I do that? By asking questions. No question is stupid. This is how we gain our pastor's spirit. How many of you have ever prayed for our pastor's spirit? God, give me my pastor's spirit. Well, are you asking questions? Are you building that relationship that comes from asking questions? This is how we get a different perspective. This is how passion is built within us. It's never going to happen without questions or impartation. And so this is something that's crucial. Also, what we see, another principle of asking, is that asking brings revelation. Let's read Luke 11, 9 and 10.
So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened.
So when you ask, when you seek, and when you knock, you discover that there is something needed in life, and that is revelation. And so that's what it's saying. That's what this parable is highlighting, that there is revelation available should you look for it, should you seek it, should you ask for it. That's available to us. And so this is something that's incredibly needed in life, especially if you're going to be a disciple. Is revelation. God speaking to you through His Word. And if it's unclear, you may have an idea or you may have a thought on a certain question or a certain scripture or a certain theme that you pull from it, and then you ask your pastor, am I on the right track? And he gives us the opportunity to ask him, and not only that, write it out, and then we hand it to him, and he hands it back to us covered in red writing. And he says, okay, let's go get some coffee and we can do that. Revelation is brought. What an invaluable resource that we have that sometimes goes unused or untapped. And so let's read, did I give 2 Kings 6, 5 through 6? Did I give that to somebody? Yeah, if you can get it real quick. And so there's revelation that's brought when we do this. And so simply asking for help in our text brought specific revelations concerning issues and circumstances of life. I don't have something. I need something. A friend has it. I'm going to go ask him if I can get it. Let's read 2 Kings 6, 5 through 6.
But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." So the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float.
Here it is, that principle again, bringing that idea. Again, he asks, "Where did it fall?" And he pointed to it, and he says, "Okay, let's do something about this." And so often in life, that could be where we are. We're lacking something. We're missing something. And we can go to pass, okay, where did it switch? Where did it change? Right? How many of you I've had that happen in my life. I'm going through something. Life is fine. Then all of a sudden, bam, an assault hit. Okay, what changed? What switched? What transpired in life? And you think back, and it's like, wow. And so, there it is. Now we can target prayer. Now we can hit it strategically. And many times that's happened in my life. And so it's not always about that issue. Like I said, you could be asking a question and get revelation to something that's completely unrelated. It shines light on a completely different issue, and that is the spirit of revelation. That's the Holy Spirit moving. Or like when we hear a sermon and we have a question prepared for pastor, and in the sermon it's answered. That's the incredible thing about relationship, asking questions, and God getting involved in our lives. And so lastly, let's talk about God, or asking questions opens doors. Verse 7, it says, "My door is now shut." But in verse 8, he says, "I will rise and give what he needs." Or he will rise and give what he needs. And so simply, asking questions opens doors for us. And it opens doors to people. In our text, this man was closed off to his friend. There was a relationship there, but there was something in between. There was a barrier. And so just like with new converts, we can know them, we can introduce ourselves to them, we can even pray with them. But that doesn't mean that automatically you guys are best friends now. There has to be questions, there has to be something, an investment that's made now into their lives to where that door of relationship can open up and they can depend on you, they can ask you questions then in regards to their salvation by you simply making them feel like they're the most interesting person in the world. That you want to know nothing but the only thing about their life. That's all you want to know. And so that opens doors to people. It also opens you up. So when we ask questions to our pastor, what that does is enables him to see where we're at, so that he can help us. When we ask questions to our pastor, we say, "Pat, okay, so in this area, I need help." And when we do so, our pastor is able to say, "Okay, let's work on this area. Let's do some specific things. Let's pray specifically." Another door that it opens up is the door of opportunity. As simple as asking for things or how to do things. And so men who want ministry but will never ask for it, won't ask to preach, they won't lead an outreach, etc., this is a great hindrance to your discipleship. And so this must be something. So when you ask to do something, it opens the door of opportunity. So pastor never hunted me down to preach in the 180s. I went to him. And I said, "Pastor, this is what I feel on my heart. This is what I feel like I want to do. This is the direction I want to aim my life." And so this was months, maybe even a year after I had gone to him at a conference. During a Pastor Campbell sermon, I'm at the altar and God puts it on my heart and he says, I want you to preach. It was that definitive moment that I knew my calling. I knew what God had for me. I knew what God wanted me to do. And he says, "I want you to tell your pastor." What? And so it took me a couple days. I think it was a Friday night that I finally mustered up the courage to go to my pastor. He was on stage and I said, "Pastor, I just want to let you know that God put it on my heart that I want to preach. And he put it on my heart to tell you." And all he said was, "I hear you." It wasn't like the heavens opening up and the angels singing the hallelujah chorus and fireworks and all. That's all he said. "I hear you." Okay. That was a lot easier than I thought. And so time went on. "Okay, I told you, Pastor. What are you going to do now? When are you going to call me up? When am I up to bat?" And it wasn't until I went back to him and I said, "Okay, Pastor, I feel like I want to preach in the 180s. Can I start preaching in the 180s? And he said, "Hold on. What I want you to do first, get a story, the illustration, how you're going to apply it, and then bring it to me." And I did that. And then even so, it was still about a month later that I actually preached my first altar call. But the bottom line is that I went to Him. I'm knocking, I'm seeking, I'm asking, I'm knocking at the door, just like our text says. And eventually that door was open. Not only that, the last open door that we see is doors to the future. Your future in ministry will largely be determined by the questions that you ask. And so a man with no questions is a man that has limited future and destiny. And that is the danger that we can all fall into when we don't ask questions. So, that's all I got. What do you guys got for questions? Andy?
One of my things, when your first point of why people don't ask questions, I've noticed for me, a lot of the reason why I don't ask I just feel like, my question's probably not that important. It's probably a dumb question, something like that. So how would I cause myself to, ask those questions, because sometimes I feel like, I'll just add, like, I kind of just work it in my head and it's kind of like, oh, well, I think that's the answer, so why ask it,
Well, just going back, when you guys were working things out, you and Eli.
Yeah.
And you asked, was it Pastor Greg?
Yeah.
And he hit you with some, in-depth, things that you guys didn't even think about. Yeah. And it even brought out a serious man, right? Later on?
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And so, something that you thought, I think we got this figured out. I think we got this handled, right?
Yeah.
And you asked the question, and it ended up being something completely different. But not only that, it inspired our pastor to do a lesson on it. And so that, if that was me, if I felt like that, which I have in the past, as I felt like, how can I ask this question, or how can I word it differently to where I don't sound like a complete idiot, And it's like, that's a reference point. It's like, well, you know what? I asked it back then, and that was the outcome of it. Who knows if that could happen again? Or who knows what more understanding and revelation I can get? And so if I were you, I would use reference points, man. And be like, you know what, God, yeah, you helped me in this area. You can help me again. You can bring understanding. Because if you think that way, once you get out on the field, you're going to think, oh, I got this all figured out. I got this handled. I got all the serious men in the binder. I'm ready to go. And you blow the whole thing up. That was a mistake I made. As I thought I had a situation figured out, and I ended up royally screwing myself over because I didn't ask. And those are character issues that we all need to deal with. Right? Those are issues in our own hearts. And so somebody who's full of pride is somebody that's afraid of looking dumb in their mind. But in the end, you end up looking more foolish, trying to figure out on your own, blowing the whole situation up even more. You end up looking more foolish, going back and saying, dang, I really messed up. And pastor saying, yeah, you did. I could have helped you. Good question.
Obviously, as everybody knows, I'm part of the foundation task. So we're in a pretty unique setting right now with a bunch of different guys. We've got new guys coming in pretty often now. And pretty familiar with how everything works there. So we're kind of put in a position to where when new guys come in, they're looking to us for how to act. They're asking us questions, and we kind of got to be pillars there to set an example, to show them what's going on, and to give them advice. So one thing is we get a lot of questions, And there's certain things that I'm speaking for myself that I feel pretty confident giving them advice in. and obviously I can lend a headship such as Nate or David or Isaac or Andy, but sometimes you're put in that position where it's a one-on-one kind of thing or it's a more personal thing. So I don't want to violate boundaries with that. So how do you think I should handle that? So I don't want to give the wrong advice.
Sure.
But at the same time, there's a line you don't want to cross. You know?
Yeah. I think the easiest thing for you to do in that situation, and that actually can pertain to dealing with a new convert, that can pertain to dealing with an issue in your own home or whatever the case may be, that you don't want to give the wrong advice. So what you do is, hey, why don't you and I'll go with you and let's go talk to a pastor or headship or somebody, so that way I'm not steering you in the wrong direction, and so that also next time I get asked this question, I know how to answer it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that would be the safest option and the safest bet. When people will sometimes go to my wife with issues, and immediately she'll stop them and she'll say, you need to go talk to pastor.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to talk to pastor, he's scary. I'll go with you. And that kind of alleviates that tension or that fear, you know, of going and asking. And so I would say that would probably be your best option, would be to do that. Yeah. Eli?
I think fear of rejection can play into it and almost sometimes be the same thing as pride when it comes to, because I know in my own heart, guys that I know, like this mentality, like, it's better if I wait for pastor to tell me something first, so that, you know, that way I don't risk looking the wrong way. I mean, is there a connection there?
I think it leads to that. I think pride leads to that self-rejection. And often, you know, you get guys that have dealt with that their whole life, that they don't know how to process that, so when they deal with pastor, that's like all the enemy puts in their mind that they're going to receive, is that you're going to be rejected. But I've often come to the point that if pastor has to tell you something, he's already hinted it a few times. And he's at that point of frustration where he's like, okay, why aren't you doing this? At least that's been the case in my life. Right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, obviously those are things that you have to work out, you know, personally in your own life. But also, those are things that God can break in us. And like I said, asking questions is naturally a humbling experience. And so therefore, do it. Ask a question. Whether you feel like you're going to get rejected or you feel like, you know, worst case, if you have an idea to do something and it gets shot down, you're in no worse position than you already were. Right? Or even if you do the thing and you get rejected and nobody shows up to your outreach, you did it. It was like one time, I think it was Steven. He was on staff and he was asking me some things. And he's like, man, this was a horrible outreach. You know, very few visitors, you know, not even many church people came. I said, you know what, Steven? When you're out pioneering, a complete stranger and visitor isn't going to know the difference between a horrible and a good outreach. They're just going to know that you provided a place where they can have a genuine encounter with God. And that must be our focal point. It shouldn't be on the success. Oh, well, you know, at my neighborhood outreach, 25 people got saved. Well, at mine, I had 35 visitors. And, you know, that's what it often becomes. Is a competition. When the essence of discipleship is saving people. Saving a lost world for Jesus Christ. And so, you know, those things often do play into it, but you have to work it through. Isaac.
My question is, I guess, kind of like Eli's. I don't know why I'm scared to ask questions. I imagine it would be like a fear of rejection or something like that, but I don't know, should I pray for, I don't know, the courage to ask a question or something like that?
Absolutely.
Because I feel like I have a good relationship with my dad that I could ask him questions. I'm just wondering, like, I'm just like, no, I'll ask him next time.
Yeah.
No, last
and so, you know, you have relationship with your dad. That's why it's easy.
Right.
Right? But often, often with dealing with family is they often have a biased opinion. Right?
Yeah.
And so a lot of times they'll tell us what we want to hear. So it's easier to do that. It's easier to ask that.
Because I'm used to getting the answer I want.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because possibly you might even think the same way. Right? Share same similar characteristics.
Like asking myself the question.
Right. And so how good does that play out?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So in asking questions to your pastor then, like I talked about, yeah, that builds that relationship. And he may tell you something that's completely
he's done that before.
Different than what you're thinking. And oftentimes, that's what we don't like about the questions that we ask. Right? But that's what's going to build that relationship. That's what's going to build you up as a man of God. Right? And so, yeah, absolutely. Pray for boldness. Pray for that God would give you a spirit of receptiveness to where you would be able to receive what's spoken into your life. You know, those are all things that God would delight in answering. Because more than anything, he wants you to be a man of God.
I think the other thing is I want to ask the right question. Like, I know Pastor Greg and you want us to ask questions, but sometimes I'm like, I don't know what to ask.
Well, that in doing so, in going and being like, I have no idea what to ask here, but this is the situation. That's what I'm saying. It would shed light on that issue, on what it is. And then you can get an answer. You know what I mean? Tony?
How do you feel about asking the same question to a different pastor?
That depends on what it is. like if you're asking scriptural questions, I think you can gain insight and direction from different things. But if you're asking as far as like a decision that you're making, I think you can get into dangerous ground. Because oftentimes I've found that people that ask multiple pastors the same question in a decision that they're trying to make, they're often looking for the answer that they want to hear. And the other thing is that you never ask the same question twice. In other words, you don't word it exactly the same. To one, you may tell some details. To another, you tell some different details. To another, you omit details completely. And often it's those that tell you, oh, yeah, well, that sounds like a good idea. Well, that pastor told me it was a good idea. So then what happens is now you're bringing pastors against each other. And it's very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. So, I don't advise it.
You said asking questions builds relationships and stuff, and I found myself, which stinks, though, but like when I was like a newer convert and just more not as knowledgeable on the Bible and stuff, I find myself almost losing the genuineness of people. I find myself playing it out almost like a program. I have selfish ambition, like I want them to pray, and selfish motives. And so I'm asking them questions, and it's like, whoa, I need to check myself, and I just really need to be and have a desire for this person's soul because there's heaven and hell. So do I pray about that and to get that back? To just have like a genuine, like, I don't want you to go to hell? And then my witnessing, I think, would be more powerful instead of having selfish motives.
So you're saying that asking questions makes you feel selfish?
No, when I'm asking questions, it's just like shallow, and it's like I don't know if I'm even retaining
that. Well, it can
answer.
Start shallow, you know what I mean? But like I said, making somebody feel like you're interested in them is very beneficial, and that's how you'll start a relationship. And so often it may start that way, but the direction that it takes can often lead to an open door to witness, right? Or an open door to share your testimony. Or an open door to reach out to them and tell them. And so if you feel like you're losing that passion and that desire to see souls saved, then absolutely I would pray that it becomes restored. You know what I mean? And, but don't lose that element of asking questions, John. Because that's something that's valuable, especially in the kingdom of God. You know? That's something that's absolutely imperative to your growth as a Christian as well. Is that ability to ask a question. You know? And so your testimony is powerful enough because it's backed by the Holy Spirit. Right? And so while you may say, man, well, my testimony is losing its power or its umph or whatever, you know, you can ask and say, God, make my words your words. Propel my words by your Holy Spirit so that it can penetrate the callous of sin that's upon a man's heart. You know? And so absolutely, prayer is absolutely crucial in this area. Scott.
One thing that, as far as asking questions from personal experience, a lot of times I'm reluctant to ask a question, especially a pastor, if it's something that, you know, I kind of feel like, well, I should know this.
Mm.
Just in personal experience, you know, Mindy and I have been married a little over 16 years. You figure after 16 years, there shouldn't really be anything that comes up that you can't solve or fix, or you've been at this for a while, you know. But we just recently went to pastor, and we're like, this is going on, we don't know why, we don't know where this turned, and what is happening here, what is going on, and it's like, I kind of felt like, well, we should be able to deal with this, you know, we've dealt with so much in the past, we should be able to deal with this, and, you know, one thing I didn't realize that, yeah, we've been doing this a while, but because of the situation, the circumstances when we did get married, we didn't get the premarital counseling that, you know, everybody else got. So there was always an element that we didn't know or didn't see, or there's resources there that we didn't know were available.
Mm-hmm.
That just kind of deal with rudimentary, very simple issues that play out later on in life. But just being able to go talk to pastor, you know, I will say I was a little bit more reluctant than, you know, maybe it was, but just being able to do that and just helped us so much that, you know, kind of helped me realize that, you know, even if I think I should know something, you know, there's always something that you're not going to know. There's always something you're not aware of.
Yeah.
And even if we didn't know what the problem was, just, you know, all I had to say was, I don't know what's going on. Can you help us?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And when you're the one that's used to asking the questions, you know, in your job, you ask the questions. People aren't asking you questions, you know what I mean? So oftentimes we can get that mindset, well, I'm the one, you know, that's asking all these other people. So, you know, because you're trying to figure something out, right? So the same thing applies in us. Is like we're used to asking things of other situations, but when it comes to like seriousness or ministry or marriage or relationship or whatever the cause may, whatever the issue may be, it's like we're like scared to ask it. And it's like, well, why? You know, when they're all pastor wants to do is help us. Ken?
You think there could be some apprehension on our part as far as if we ask something that he's going to say something that challenges us?
Yeah.
And that, you know, we're afraid of doing it.
Absolutely. Yep. That issue of accountability, right? Absolutely. Anybody else? Lem?
So, when you were being discipled, and just now, would you say, or how much weight would you say just in general, you know, the ability to ask questions, if there's someone who has these problems, or listen, pride, the rejection issues, if people are not willing to or not able to overcome that barrier, I mean, the ability to ask questions, you're revealing things about your heart and your life and things you're going through. So if you can't overcome that, would you say, from what you've seen and as long as you've been discipled, that it would hinder you from doing anything in ministry?
I wouldn't say it would hinder you from doing anything, but it would limit you incredibly. And so, you know, one of the things I have to work on and I still work on is asking questions. I recognize that in my own life, you know. And so we can never get to the point in our salvation, in our ministry, in what God has called us to do. We can never get to the point where we think we have it all figured out. And because something else will rise up. And so I believe it bears a great deal of weight in everything that you do. Now, as far as hindering it, I don't think it'll completely stop it, but I think you'll be very limited.
So have you seen, I guess, guys who God is blessed with talent, God is blessed with fruitfulness, but their speed bump is they can't overcome asking questions to their pastor, and so it's prevented them from growing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and so, you know, like we said, so pride, ignorance, and an incorrect view of time, those issues as to why we don't ask questions, those are all character issues. And so, like you said, somebody who has talent, somebody who has gifting, and so it's like, you know, talent without character produces something that's very ugly. And you see that, you'll always see that there's a constant, you know, turmoil, there's constant issues, there's constant conflict in life. And so just asking a simple question can alleviate all of that. And how many have asked the question that you feel, oh my gosh, and, you know, it's like you're going through extreme anxiety, and you know, your palms are sweating, and your heart's beating fast, and then you ask the question and it was like, well, that wasn't so bad. Why did I work myself up so much? Right? When asking a question can alleviate so much. If we would just say, you know what? I don't know.
Does it matter which pastor you ask? Because they're like traveling sometimes or most of the time.
No, I guess your pastors are your pastors, you know. And so I ask both my pastors stuff. Not the same question.
You have something to ask?
Yeah. Just ask him, man.
No, no.
Mark.
From a pastoral position, where would you draw the line saying, okay, this is just too many questions? Well, that's for me, that's one of the fears. I don't want to hinder you with a bunch of questions.
Well, that's the thing. So there's a few guys that I know that we could spend 45 minutes at the front talking while there's a line waiting behind them. And so I'll ask them, is this going to be a quick question, or is this something that we can sit down and talk about? Because I would rather than rush through all these questions, and sometimes they're very serious questions that they need help with, rather than rush through them and just try and get them through the line so that I can get to the next guy to pray for, I'll tell them, okay, if this is going to take some time, let's sit down. Let's go to the office and let's sit down and we can hash this out. So that way I can give you the proper time. You know? And so, that's not often the case that happens. You know, sometimes I'll get caught off guard. But, you know, regardless, I'm there to help them. You know what I mean? And so if you have, like, a ton of questions that you need to ask, then get with Pastor and say, hey, there's some things that I need to talk about. Can we sit down? Can we set up a meeting where we can sit down and talk? Rather than say, hey, I'm going to catch you after service and ask you a million and a half questions, you know. And so that's just something that's practical on your part, you know, the asker. Because the ask, you know, the person that's getting asked, the pastor, whatever, you know, they're there to help you. And so I would rather give you all the time that you need than try and cut you off and just speed through and you feel like, well, he hardly gave me any time, so he must be busy, and so I'll never ask him a question again. You know what I mean?
So you do you feel like, I mean, you have to have wisdom. So you have to have wisdom about when to ask. So if there is a certain time that, you know, you guys are running around busy, because I know sometimes there's vital, there's questions you want to ask, but it seems like sometimes you ask either in the wrong way or at the wrong time, and it's just, you know what I mean? Like, if you notice every time you go to pastor and you know, after service and you want to lay out all these questions, and they just seem, and then there's times where like, you know, Pastor Greg, he'll be like, yeah, so what's going on? And do you kind of like save some of these questions in the back of your mind, and then at that point, that's the time when you can just bring stuff like that up. So you think there's a wisdom in when you
absolutely
ask,
yeah. Obviously, if it's life and death, you're not going to want to wait. I'll put that one in the back of my mind. My marriage
you're
is falling apart. Yeah, absolutely.
Spiritual gangrene by the time you...
Then we just have to chop it off at that point. Anybody else? Caleb?
So, situations like this, you know... So Pastor Greg, you've always been... preached this before, you know, a disciple who asks questions, you know, if you're going to go far, it's someone who asks questions. So then a situation like this, any question, right now, it's all like crystal clear. It's all like, ooh, I understand, I got it. And then also, you want to ask, you know, not like the right question, but you want to ask a good question. So like sitting around breakfast time, okay, I just need a question. What's a question?
Under pressure is very difficult. When we have the time to ask questions, that's when our mind goes blank.
Right.
So throughout the day, you come up with a question, write it down in the front page of your Bible, in a notebook that you'll always carry with you. So that way you can go back. Hey, I was going throughout my day, this question came to my mind. What do you think? And that way you're not like, you know. So that's what I would do. It's very practical, something very simple that everybody can do. As you go throughout your day, I wonder about that. And you can ask it later, you know. But that way you can go back and remember. Because 9 times out of 10, when you're put in that spot where you can ask the question, you're going to forget completely what you were wondering about 2 days ago or 3 days ago. You know? And so, yeah, definitely. Write it down. Anyone else?